welcome back. You're here listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble, and we have a special guest with us, Fred Malone. Actually, he's just an ordinary guest.
Special about me. I haven't been special for a long time.
Fred's, we call him from the Historical Society, but quite frankly, Fred knows everything about everything. We have a great time when we talk because he always tells me, like Bob Clarabelle.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was Clarabelle as well.
I'm glad she called in and mentioned that because I had totally forgotten about that.
But
that's true. Absolutely.
And then I looked him up, and his grandson climbed up Mount Everest.
Mount Everest. That's amazing. Yeah.
And now I forgot to do something, so I've got to do it quickly here.
Okay.
forgot to punch a button or two. And hold on. We're almost ready here. Let's see. Do that. Do that. Then I have to pull that up. And then I have to stop this. There we go. I'm going.
Okay.
All right. Oh, shoot. I every time I get I start getting interested in something, I mess up the engineering.
No problem. I would encourage people to call in with their favorite TV show. Let's talk about your favorite TV show. We want to hear what your TV show is.
740-383-9944. We've already had several calls.
Because I know we've got a lot of listeners out there that are our age and older and some younger. And
you mean
I think there's a good
our age of about 40.
Yeah, about 40. Yeah, sounds good to me. So I'm going to start off this segment with another trivia question.
All right.
And this will be for one of your prizes.
Either the wilds or the zoo.
Okay.
We'll let you make a choice. But we got to ask you not to come pick them up until tomorrow because I don't have them. Scott has them.
Okay, so Scott will be back tomorrow with the tickets.
Yeah.
All right. So there was a show called Sky King, if anybody remembers that show.
I loved it.
And Glenn remembered. He loved that show, too, as well as I did. On the show Sky King had a niece. What was his niece's name? And Glenn and I kind of think that most of the guys out there ought to remember this. But
she was so cute.
Oh, she was gorgeous. So what was Sky King's niece's name on the show Sky King?
And that was the very when you mentioned Sky King, the very first thing I thought to myself is, what was his niece's name?
Yeah. So, all right. So while we're waiting on that, we talked.
What was his airplane's name?
You know, I couldn't remember the airplane name. If anybody knows that,
Skybird or something.
Oh, somebody's got it already.
Yeah, we've got somebody on the line. Let's go and talk to him. Hey, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Her name was Penny.
Hey, it's a guy. It's a guy.
Okay. Through the Songbird.
The Songbird. Yeah, you know, well, I could not remember that this morning when I was thinking about that show. So, all right, here's a question for you. Did you have a crush on her like we did?
No.
No? Oh, come on.
Nah, I wouldn't go that way.
Oh, she was gorgeous. She was little blonde.
Yeah, long hair.
Oh, cute little blonde, yeah.
It was okay. We were really young then.
Yeah.
Maybe I was a little bit younger, too.
Yeah, I bet you were. What's your name? Give us your first name and tell us, would you rather have wild tickets or zoo tickets?
It's Ralph and Zoo.
Okay. Ralph, now I got to ask you to wait till tomorrow morning to pick them up, or you can stop in tomorrow, I think until about 1 o'clock, or the following day, the same, and because Scott doesn't trust me with any tickets, so I got to get them from him, but it's zoo tickets, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Ralph, before you hang up, what was your favorite TV show as a kid?
Man, I've had too many of them.
can't just narrow it down to one?
But, God, I can't remember a lot of them. We did watch.
I'm like you. I don't remember all of them.
But I was going to ask Fred.
Yeah.
When did Ron Howard start on Andy Griffith?
Oh, my word.
That's a good question.
He was part of that. Not the show that that was a Danny Thomas show, but he was in the very first episode.
Was he?
Yeah, because the very first episode was the episode where Rose was getting married and Aunt Bee was taking over. Yeah.
Yeah, I just watched all that because we watch it every night on 55. There's a family channel.
That's where I pick it up too. I get it on a different number.
I can get it on 986.
Okay, okay. Huh. Yeah, but that was the very first show, and I think he was either 4 or 5 years old.
I was going to say, he must have been
And his dad, his real dad, Rance Howard, excuse me, was always on the set, and he was also an actor. Huh. So it was just a great family show, just a great
family
show.
Yeah, I always step back and thought sometimes they ought to name it the Barney Hour.
Yeah.
Well, it turned around him.
Yeah, it did.
And unfortunately, Barney was only on, I think, 3 or 4 years. So really just the early episodes after he left, then of course they got that guy Warren that came in as a deputy. Let me ask you, a few years ago, they do this thing out at Ohio University. I've got Ohio University on my brain. At the Ohio State campus here in Marion, where they have people come in and they have different things going on. They had Don Knotts' daughter there a few years ago. Did you happen to go see her? I did. It was great.
No, I hadn't seen those.
Yeah, she was absolutely fantastic. She even looked kind of like Don Knotts.
That's a shame.
She did like an hour program and then took questions and answers, but what it was like, of course, to grow up at Don Knotts. And he was from West Virginia. Yeah, he was born in West Virginia.
Oh,
yeah. So
he finally ended up. Is that was his last episode? Was on Matlock? Was that where he ended up at?
Yeah, he died shortly after he did that last episode. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he only did like 4 or 5 guest appearances with Andy on Matlock. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Great guy. Very, very talented. Both of them. But Andy had to be very talented to play a straight man to Barney.
Yes, he did.
I see him in a lot of things, but you never, you know, seen a lot on Barney, except, you know, the Carol Burnett show. But
yeah, well, of course, you know, he left Andy Griffith to do movies. That was why he left. He got an offer to do these movies, and, of course, he did Ghost of Mr. Chicken and an Incredible Mr. Limpet and The Shapiest Gun in the West and all that kind of stuff. So that's why he left the Andy Griffith show. And then he did make a couple of guest appearances after that. And then, of course, they did Mayberry Revisited and another show where he came back. But
what he was who followed the guy that you said followed Barney?
Warren,
and then who followed him?
Nobody. That was it.
Okay.
It was not, there wasn't another deputy after that.
Was that Boyd, the barber's
nephew?
Nephew. Right.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
He was Floyd's nephew. Yeah. Yep. Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much.
And
I got you down for the zoo tickets. Just stop in and pick them up here at 523 South Prospect.
All right, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's pretty good.
That is. There's more Andy Griffith fans out there than I realize.
Yeah. Now,
and Sky King fans.
Yeah. Now, I didn't understand. I didn't really think of... I didn't realize that Barney was only on for 4 years.
Yeah, it was no more than 4 years.
How many years did the whole show go?
Oh, my word. 11, 12, something like
really?
That. And then it eventually morphed into a program called Mayberry RFD.
Yes, I remember that.
And that was Ken, what was Ken's name? Oh, shoot, I've forgotten his last name. He actually was on some of the last of the Andy Griffith shows, and then it morphed into Mayberry RFD. He was the president of the city council, and he kind of took over the main character of the show when it became Mayberry RFD, and Andy just slowly disappeared.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Now, is it true that Andy and B didn't get along?
They did not get along. They actually did not like one another. And I really never heard the backstory on why that was, but they were both very good actors, and they overcame it well.
Yeah, well, now, I had heard Andy say on one show, now, I've never heard what was her name, Bouvier, something like that.
Frances Bouvier.
Yeah, I never heard her talk about it, but I did hear Andy Griffith say he really didn't not
He didn't dislike her, no.
It was just that
They clashed.
Yeah,
I think they clashed.
Along,
and I think the sentiment was about the same with her too. It wasn't a hatred or anything like that.
She was a big time actress.
She was
that really wanted to go that way.
That's
rather
right.
Than be kind of slapstick.
Yep. That's absolutely.
Lady.
That's absolutely right. Yep. So anyway, we talked a little bit about Petticoat Junction.
Yeah.
And again, I think Green Acres kind of morphed off of Petticoat Junction, and that was a show that was kind of based around the train and the hotel. that was run by Kate and her three daughters, and of course Uncle Joe, who was played by, now I can't remember his name, kind of a short, heavy set guy, had a gruff voice.
I can count on the number of minutes that I watched that show.
Oh, so. Well, there again, I liked the show because the girls were good looking, the three daughters were good looking, and it's, the show always started up with them taking a skinny dip in the water tower by the railroad track, and of course they came up with their elbows on the. And you knew they were naked. At least you thought they were naked. But
how outrageous.
But that was a great show. And then, of course, every morning today on the one of the stations that we get through DirecTV is the Patty Duke Show. And the Patty Duke Show, where she played cousins. Remember that, where she played identical cousins?
Yes.
She played her. She played herself, and then she played her cousin who was from England.
The Patty Duke Show.
The Patty Duke Show, And how about Father Knows Best?
I used to watch that all
Father Knows Best.
And that was the way my family kind of was.
And, of course, Father Knows Best, he eventually went on to become who?
Boy, you threw me off there.
What was his name?
James Young? Okay,
and he went on to become Dr. Welby.
Oh, that's right.
Marcus Welby, later on.
He was a good actor. I enjoyed watching
And the oldest daughter on Father Knows Best went on to become who in the Andy Griffith Show?
Boy, you're throwing them at me that I have no idea.
Let's see if anybody can answer that.
Okay.
Who, and I'm sure our Andy Griffith person will. Who was on Father Knows Best, the older daughter on Father Knows Best that went on to star on the Andy Griffith Show for
a
while?
I can see her face, but I can't, remember.
Okay, we'll see if anybody gets it.
All right. 740-383-9944 if you'd like to help us out a little bit.
Okay, here's another question, not a prize question, but another question for you. How many watched the Roy Rogers Show?
I did.
Oh, just about all of us that were Cowboy fans back in the day watched the Roy Rogers Show.
I wouldn't have been a Cowboy fan if it hadn't been for Roy Rogers.
And, of course, there was always a debate out there as to who was the best singing cowboy. Was it Roy Rogers? Well, there's an answer.
We got an answer, we think. You're on the air. How can we help you? Hello, you're on the air. Did I not hit the right button? Hello. I must have hit the wrong button.
Call back.
Please call back. I'm sorry. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
So on the Roy Rogers Show, there was always a...
Here we go. We got him coming back. I pushed the wrong button, I think. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead.
I think her name was Ellie.
Ellie. And what did she do? What did she do on the show?
She's a pharmacist.
Pharmacist, right. Oh, right. She took over for her uncle. Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Gene Autry was the best singing cowboy.
You think Gene Autry was? That was going to be my next question. Who do you think is the best, Roy Rogers or Gene Autry?
There's going to be a fight around.
I won't cause no fight. I'll take her away.
Well, it was a big toss-up.
They were both great.
They were both good.
Yeah.
What was the name of their group? Roy Rogers' group that backed
him. I forgot that. I don't remember what that was.
Sons of the Pioneers.
Right.
And I had their album.
Sons of the Pioneers. Yeah. They were good.
I still get that on one of the channels. I watch it every now and then.
Really?
On there.
Oh, right. Roy Rogers show's on. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I watch that. I'm a big fan, and I'll tell you why here in a couple minutes.
I had a chance to buy his ranch. About, 8 years ago, my son had just moved to California, and I was looking for property out there, and his ranch came for sale, and it was cheap because it was in the desert.
Oh, yeah.
It was
right,
nasty.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So here's my Roy Rogers story.
All right, give us
Roy Rogers, of course, was born in Cincinnati, but when he was a young kid, the family... built a flatboat, and they came up the Ohio River to Portsmouth, and they're looking for work, and they ended up in Lucasville, where I was basically born and raised.
That's where your farm was, right?
Where our farm was, and their farm or their house that they bought when they first came to Lucasville was on Duck Run, and Duck Run was just up the road from our farm. So my dad and Roy Rogers,
be in the country, Duck Run.
Duck Run. My dad and Roy Rogers went to school together and were in the 4-H together and raised hogs together.
I'll be darned. Yeah.
So when and Roy used to come back, his name was Leonard Sly. When he was in school, his name was Leonard. Lenny, my dad called him Lenny. When he was in, after he left Lucasville and went to California to make his fortune, he would come back to the Scioto County Fair every year. The Scioto County Fairgrounds was right across the road from our farm.
Oh.
And so Trigger would always stay at our farm during the Scioto County Fair, and Roy usually stayed in Lucasville with his friend, the boyhood friend that he grew up with, that he chummed around with and fished with. And so Roy was at our farm all the time. Huh. So as a kid of about 5-6 years old, I sat on Trigger with my full Roy Rogers regalia.
Oh, did you get a picture?
I think somewhere my mother had a picture, yes.
Did they really stick a cork in Trigger to keep him from pooping on stage?
That I can't answer.
I don't know that.
I know he pooped a lot at our farm. So
there's DNA, Trigger DNA.
That's
there.
My Roy Rogers story.
How many Triggers were there? Was there more than one?
Oh, I don't know. I only knew of one.
Okay.
I only knew of one. Huh. And so that morphs me into my next question for a prize.
Okay, we got one last prize that we can give away.
So we know that the horse's name was Trigger. This really should be an easy one.
Okay.
And no one should have to Google this, but what was the dog's name? What was the dog's name?
I can see.
So
the dog
here's the other head. Part of here's the other part of that Roy Rogers story that I have to tell. A few years ago, my son was collecting vinyl records, and he was having me look for jazz records. And I happened to be in one of the antique malls down in Delaware looking for records, and I picked up this record, and it was The Man from Duck Run. And it had a big picture of Roy in the front of it with the old house that they lived in and his old truck sitting there. And I thought, geez, I've never seen this album. He used to make albums, of course, but I never saw this one, The Man from Duck Run. So I turned it over, and on the back of the album, there were several early pictures of Roy when he was a kid. And here's a picture of him and his 4-H group, and here's my dad.
You're kidding.
In the picture, standing beside Roy Rogers.
I'll be darned. That's
of course, who was then Leonard Sly.
Yeah.
So I paid the exorbitant sum of 50 cents for the record album, and it's in my collection now.
I have my record album hanging up on the wall here. You can't see it. It's around the corner. But it actually went for $35, the last one that was on Amazon.
Oh, my word. Wow.
Now, it's not on... Apparently somebody bought it because it's not on there anymore. But people love the old vinyl.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, they're still very popular today. Maybe this is an answer to the
maybe
dog
so.
Question.
Let's go back to the phones and find out. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bullet was dog's name.
You got it. You got it. You got it. Yep.
And what's your first name?
Becky.
Hey, Becky. Would you like to go to the zoo or the wilds?
Give me the zoo ticket.
Okay. Now, you can't pick him up today because Scott doesn't trust me, and I don't have them, but he'll be here most of the day, all the morning tomorrow and into the afternoon, and if not, give us a call, and we'll tell you when you can come pick him up.
Okay.
Hey, Becky, don't hang up yet.
Don't hang up yet,
Becky. I got a question for you. So who do you think was the king of the cowboys in the singing venue? Was it Roy or Gene?
Gene.
You think Gene also?
Really?
Oh, my word.
I do.
Oh, my. I thought Roy had a much better voice.
Well, yeah, but Gene had a better baseball team.
Well, that's true. And they never won him a championship when he was still alive.
That's right.
The sad part of it.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Becky. Take care.
Have a good day now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
I think that finishes up Roy Rogers. How about Zorro?
Zorro.
Anybody remember watching Zorro?
I love Zorro.
I racked
out
my
of the
brain.
Night and into the light.
Zit, zit, zit.
Yeah.
Does anybody out there remember who played Zorro? I couldn't for the life of me think of his name today. I'm sure you can Google that and find it out, but I don't do computers, so I can't Google. So
I'm going to Google it while you're talking.
All right. Well, while we're looking that up, another one of my favorite childhood shows was Hopalong Cassidy.
Yeah, I liked Hopalong Cassidy.
And does everybody remembers who played Hopalong Cassidy?
No, I don't.
William Boyd.
Oh, yes.
William Boyd.
Now that you say it, I do remember that.
And Do you know that William Boyd was from Ohio?
No, I didn't.
He was from Cambridge, Ohio.
Really? Oh, Cambridge, over Ohio. On the east side of town. Oh.
And for a long time, there was a Hopalong Cassidy Museum in Cambridge. I'm not sure whether it's still there or not, because it was in with an antique mall, as part of the antique mall, and the antique mall burnt a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm not sure whether the stuff that was there was destroyed or saved.
Let's go back to the phone. We've got somebody else on the line. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, was Zorro Don Diego?
He was looking it up. I don't really know. I couldn't remember.
I'm trying to find out. That does sound familiar. I hate to say that, but created.
Did you
by
Google, or did you just happen to pull it out of thin air?
Well, see, I don't do Google, so I don't
me either.
I don't even have a computer.
Yeah, me either.
I'm trying to show this to Fred. That's the list of the
oh,
number
my word.
Of Zorros.
There's a whole gob of
them. There must have been 20 Zorros.
I'm thinking of the one that played the TV show, and I bet there was only one that did the TV show.
Yeah,
you know,
I think like Dom Diego.
I think you're very close. You may have.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Douglas Fairbanks was the first, though.
Well, but that was probably in movies.
It was in movies.
Yeah, I'm talking TV shows.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I'm going to go with you.
Here you go.
Oh, wait a minute.
First, in-universe information. Okay, first name was Don Diego.
Don Diego, there you go.
His whole name was Don Diego de la Vega.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good pick. Good memory.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Don Diego, what did I say? Don Diego de la Vega.
Okay. Well, we don't have any more trivia questions. We already talked about Sky King. That was next on my list. I made this list up this morning when I'm eating my breakfast.
Yeah. Well, you had some great shows.
Okay, so how about the Lone Ranger, Hi-O Silver?
And his sidekick. Everybody knows who his sidekick is, right?
So who was it?
Why did I say that?
Tonto!
Yeah, Tonto, of course. And doesn't Tonto mean something in the English?
It probably
Indian
does,
language?
But I have no idea what it would be. So who played Tonto?
Oh, that's a good question. He was probably Italian. There are so many Indians pertaining.
We'll give you the Lone Ranger. That was Clayton Moore.
Okay.
He was actually the most famous one. There was another one.
Oh, was
there? There was another one that played on TV before he did, but Clayton Moore is the one everybody thinks of, and I can't remember the other guy's name.
Huh.
He didn't do as many episodes as Clayton Moore did. In fact, Clayton Moore wrote a book, and it was something like The One and Only or The Only One or something of that nature. But there was another guy that played... Maybe this is who it is.
Yeah, we'll find out. We've got a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Jay Silverheels.
Jay Silverheels, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Do you remember who? Do you remember who the first Lone Ranger was? I think he hung up already.
Pardon me.
No, who? Do you remember who the first Lone Ranger was before? What was
Clayton Moore was the one on TV.
Yeah, right.
But
actually, there were a few episodes on TV of this other guy doing it.
Huh.
But
I can't
remember his name. Clayton Moore is the one who gets credit for it most of the time. But there was another guy that played him, I think, for like one season on the TV show.
Right.
Huh. Well,
right before my time.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thanks for calling. Bye bye.
Yeah, I can't remember it either, but I know there was another guy. But Jay Silverheels played,
of course, yeah.
Played Tonto. Yeah, and he was actually an American Indian.
Well, the guy that plays the Indian with the tear coming down his cheek. On public service.
Yeah, that wasn't Jay Silverheels.
No, it wasn't.
But
and he's not Indian. He's Italian.
Yeah, and I can't think of his name off the top. He did a lot of commercials.
Yeah, he was very good.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very good cause.
You know, Lone Ranger was a popular radio show long before it became a TV show.
Sure it was, yeah.
And the guy that played him on the radio was William. He played a fat detective on TV.
William Shatner.
No, not William Shatner. The other fat guy. He played a detective,
sorry.
Not Mannix, but he played a detective on TV for years. His name was William. Oh shoot, I can't. He was the radio voice of the Lone Ranger. Oh, I can't think of it. Anyway, William something. William, oh man, that bugged me, but I can't think of it. But
welcome to the old age.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he was the original Lone Ranger on radio and did that for a number of years before it became a syndicated TV show. Moving on, how about Superman?
That's exactly who I was pulling up.
Yeah, how about Superman?
Yeah, I loved...
Here we go.
Yeah, I loved Superman on TV.
On TV.
Hang on, we're going to the phones.
Hi, you're on the air.
William Conrad.
Conrad, the big fat guy, yeah. What was the detective he played, do you remember?
He played Frank Cannon.
Cannon, that's it. I knew it was Frank, and I couldn't think of the last name. Wonderful.
We're pulling Frank rabbits Cannon out of a hat.
Yeah, great. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I love this. I love this interactive.
Yeah, it's good. Kind of fun to have an audience that's smarter.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's a half the fun of doing stuff like this, trying to get everybody to participate. So I'm glad that people are calling in. Okay, Superman. We watched Superman as a kid growing up all the time.
There were several Supermans.
There were several Supermans.
Yeah. But the first one was probably the most, a television one was probably the most.
Yeah, and you know, I couldn't remember his name this morning.
George Reeves. Yeah.
I should have remembered that because who played him later on, his same name was Reeves.
Steve.
Christopher Reeves.
Yeah.
And you know, for a long time, there were some other Supermans that appeared, and none of them were as good as the original.
Yeah.
And then when Christopher Reeves came along, I thought he did a wonderful job.
He did. Yeah. That was probably my favorite movie show.
Yeah, the series that he did.
Do
you know how George Reeves died?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
He died of suicide. Right?
Yep, at his own hand, shot himself.
Yeah. And
because he was typecast, he couldn't get another job.
Couldn't get anything.
Couldn't get any other job.
Yeah.
So who were the main characters? You had Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen. And Mr. White was the editor of the paper.
What was the name of the paper?
Oh, you asked me too quick now.
How can you not know this?
Oh, see, this is what happens when you get in your 70s. You don't recall as quickly.
There.
All right, what was it?
The Daily Planet.
The Daily Planet. I should have known that. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And there are a lot of questions about in the movie where Lois Lane is falling out of the window of the Daily Planet.
Always.
And Superman scoops her up. And there are a lot of questions. Wouldn't she have been cut in half by the impact?
Wouldn't you have thought that? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was always so gentle.
Yes.
Know, just kind of swooped up from
like
nowhere.
Like she was falling onto cotton.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And yet he's coming up. She's going down at terminal speed. And it didn't hurt.
And it still didn't hurt. Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to the phone. Hi. You're on the air. Hello. Did I hit the wrong button? I did. There we go. You're on the air.
And kind of going back to the Lone Ranger, the original one was John Hart.
John Hart. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah,
that's interesting.
I think he only did it for about a year, but the reason I even knew that was because I watched the Lone Ranger all the time, and occasionally I'll scroll down to get the year, and I've run across that name before, John Hart. And his voice is much different than Clayton Moore's. Yeah. You can tell that it's different when you watch them both back to back.
Clayton Moore's the only one I've ever heard of.
And if I can think about it when I come back next month, we're not going to get to movies today, I don't think. When I come back next month, I'll see if I can't find that book that I bought several years ago that Clayton Moore wrote, because it had a lot of good information in it about that show.
We haven't even touched on horror films.
Oh, no, and I've got a whole page of horror films when we get to movies. Okay, well, while we're talking about horror films, how about Chiller Theater? A lot of people in our audience should remember Chiller Theater. It was on Channel 10 on Friday nights.
In Columbus.
And as a kid, it used to scare the bejesus out of me. And then I couldn't sleep. I wouldn't be able to sleep all night. It came on after the nightly news.
Okay.
And it featured horror movies.
We had one like that out of Chicago.
Yeah.
So, I think every big city had.
Oh yeah, they probably did.
Terrifying.
And then I think
Friday
after Chiller Theater went off, there was one called Fritz the Night Owl that came on, and I think he didn't always have horror movies, but he had a late night movie on, and it sometimes would feature. And he wore these huge sunglasses
that looked like an owl.
Fritz the Night Owl. Yeah, and he kind of looked like an owl. And a couple of years ago, one of the morning TV shows out of Columbus had him on as a guest, and he still had those great big enormous glasses, I remember. That was another favorite local show that I watched on Friday night. And as I said, it's scared me to death.
Yeah, of course.
Wouldn't sleep all night, you know. And we'll talk about those movies next week.
Okay, yeah.
Or next month time. When I come in. Yeah. How about Highway Patrol?
Highway Patrol.
That one really goes back, early 50s.
Was that the predecessor of Chips?
It may have been. I think it was based on the West Coast. I think it was. But, of course, they were driving patrol cars that were black, and they were just had a red, the red ball on top. And mostly made in very early 50s. I think some of the cars were like 51, 52, 53, something like that.
I can see the actors, but I don't
Broderick
remember.
Broderick Crawford.
Ah, yes, that's who it
Broderick
was.
Broderick Crawford.
Yeah.
He went on to do a lot of movies later on.
Sure
but
did.
It always amazed me because they never shot their gun.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And they couldn't be real policemen.
And if you even think about the Roy Rogers show and some of those early cowboy shows, they always shot at each other, but no one ever
died. Fell down, yeah.
No one ever got killed. No, it was amazing.
Well, it's tough to shoot a pistol.
Well, it is, especially when you're riding a horse.
Yes.
That always amazed me. And one I didn't write down, but I watch every day, Gunsmoke.
Oh.
I loved the early Gunsmoke episodes.
I loved
with
it when,
Dennis Weaver.
I loved it when it was new.
Yeah.
I now don't like to watch it. I don't know why. But.
With Dennis Weaver as Chester that had the limp.
Yeah.
And, of course, Doc Adams and Kitty.
Wasn't there a spinoff with Dennis Weaver on?
Well, Dennis Weaver, there wasn't a spinoff for Gunsmoke, but he went to New York as a cowboy from New Mexico. Taos, New Mexico,
yes.
And he was looking for an escaped convict or something in New York, and he ended up staying and working for the New York Police Department.
So that wasn't a spinoff.
It wasn't really a spinoff, but it was his next big thing for Dennis Weaver.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever had any real blockbuster movies or anything like that,
yeah.
But that was a very popular series for a number of years.
Yeah. I remember watching that.
I don't remember the name of it, but I know how the show got started and why he was in New York.
Huh.
And he stayed on for whatever reason. But
all right, give us more. We're enjoying this.
How about Bachelor Father?
Bachelor Father.
That was another good show. That one I really had to dig in the back of my head.
Also,
and that was
daughter.
John Forsythe that played Bachelor Father.
And had a very pretty daughter.
And another very pretty daughter,
That's why I watched when I was a kid.
And again, that was simply based around the fact that he was a widower and was raising this teenage girl on his own.
Yeah.
And if I recall, if I remember, he was pretty wealthy.
Yes,
I pretty
think
wealthy
he was,
guy.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phone. What do you say? Hi, you're on the air.
That would be McCloud.
McCloud.
Oh, that was
great.
The name of the series. Thank you very much.
Boy, you got a mind like a steel trap.
We ought to have him come in and join us sometime.
Are you married?
Yeah.
Does your wife know you watch this on TV?
But she watches them with me. That's my information.
There you go. A family that watches together stays together.
So I don't want to get too personal, but are you in your 60s, 70s, or where?
73.
So you're our age.
Our age.
Yeah, you're our age. Great.
Well, thanks for the answers, because you've been right.
And thanks for participating.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I think that's Ralph, isn't it? Didn't he win a prize? Okay, good, Ralph. Thanks for calling in, Ralph. We appreciate that. I love it. I absolutely love it. How about Perry Mason?
Perry Mason.
Oh,
no,
Raymond
that was
Burr.
One I didn't watch.
Raymond Burr. I still watch that. It's on every night. And my mother was a great Perry Mason fan. She loved that show. She loved all court shows.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and all those
types
of shows.
I can hear the music.
And that morphs into another show that I like to watch, and I didn't write it down. It just came to me. Peter Gunn. Remember Peter Gunn?
They had a very famous theme song that became a rock, rock song, but it became very
absolutely.
Popular and was
and
sold
I can't,
a lot of records.
I can't hum that one, but it was a very distinctive song.
And I'm trying to remember, because the person that wrote the song is very famous.
And I can't remember the guy that played Peter Gunn. If anybody remembers who played Peter Gunn, give us a call in on that
one, too. I can't either, and I'm going to try to
look
it up.
I don't remember that one either, but he went to a bar all the time, the same bar he went to all the time, and the lady that ran the bar, what did he call her? Do you remember?
I know I don't.
Mother.
Really?
Yeah, and I think the bar might have been called Mother's.
Huh.
And that's funny, because when I was growing up, after we left the farm and moved to Logan, we had a I don't want to say a kid's bar because that's not right. But back in our day, we could buy 3-2 beer. Remember when 3-2 beer, we could buy 3-2 beer?
I couldn't, but because I lived in Indiana.
Oh, okay. Well, in Ohio, you could buy 3-2 beer when you turned 18.
Right.
And we went to a place in town in Logan called Mother's. It was off the beaten track, and it was run by a mom and pop. It was a little mom and pop operation. There was no shenanigans that ever went in that bar. There were never any bar fights. And it was catered to younger people.
Yeah.
But they always carried 3-2 beer for the 18-year-old, 18 to 21, because you had to be 21 to buy regular beer spirits.
Right.
So they always carried 3-2 beer, and the people associated there were mostly people between the years of 18 and 21.
That's pretty cool.
But it was called Mother's, and he always referred to this lady, the bar that he went to, as Mother, and I kind of think the bar's name was Mother's.
Henry Mancini was the guy that
wrote the theme song, Did you catch the name of the guy that starred in the show? Because I can see his face, but I just can't remember his name.
Craig Stevens?
That might have been it. That might have been it, Craig Stevens, yeah.
Now, you brought up an interesting memory for me.
Okay.
We went to, when I was probably in my early teens, we went to a place up in northern Michigan. It was outside of Petoskey, Michigan. It was called the Ponytail Club. Ponytail Club. Did not serve alcohol. It was open only to those up to 20. If you were 21, you couldn't come in. It was only for those of us who were teenagers.
Okay.
And it was packed every Friday night. I think it was in Harbor Springs, which is across the bay from...
Did they serve alcohol?
They did not serve alcohol.
Okay.
But what it was, and it was, what made it so cool, it was an early speakeasy.
Okay.
And they even had the tracks where the tables would go back...
Back inside the wall, right. The
police would show up, they could zip their roulette wheels right back into the wall.
While you were playing.
And it was really... quite fun.
That is cool. Yeah. Hey, this is a Ohio University question.
All right.
You came there in 73, right?
To work? No, 83.
83.
Yeah.
Maybe gone by then.
Okay.
When I was there in the 60s,
yeah,
we had a place, it wasn't in town, it was out of town actually, between Nelsonville and Athens, called Abdella's.
Yes.
Was Abdella still there?
They had... that was on that road going to Chancy.
Yes, right. Absolutely, yeah.
Abdella's. And I knew Mr. Abdella, and I went out
there. Did you ever frequent that?
I did not. Yeah. I went in once,
yeah,
and it was a bar, and it was kind of out of the way, so there were a lot of college students.
Yeah, it was kind of what you would call a dive.
Yeah, you hit it.
But it was popular for OU students.
It was, it was. And you were about 5 miles from downtown, so
absolutely,
you had to drive your way home
you
after
did.
Drinking.
You did, and there were back roads.
Yeah, there were back roads. I know most of them.
Me too. Having grown up in Hocking County and Athens County.
Well, I was too old to be driving back roads, but I did occasionally.
Well, that could be said of any of us.
Yeah.
Another place on Court Street, when I was there in the 60s, and this I'm sure was gone by the time you got there, it was called the Appalachian Lighthouse.
No, I did not know that.
The Appalachian Lighthouse was a venue that had all kinds of... music acts in there, and of course you got to remember 1968 1969, there's a lot of hippie stuff going on, so we had light shows continually in there. It was like an old warehouse that had been completely emptied out.
It
had a stage in it.
It was on Court Street.
Top of the hill.
Okay.
Yeah, top of the hill. I think the building's long since gone, burnt down probably, but a lot of music groups that became famous music groups came through there. I saw Jimi Hendrix there.
Oh, wow.
Before he was popular. Morrison, before he became the Doors. Jim Morrison. The Grateful Dead partied with us for a whole week. They'd been doing a gig in Columbus at Ohio State, and a couple of our buddies went up and sang the sad song to them about how poor we were down at Ohio University, and talked them into coming down, and we put them up for a week.
Wow.
They didn't charge.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, but you could really literally cut the smoke with a knife when you walked into that place, and it wasn't cigarette smoke, if you get my drift.
I can't imagine what other type of
not at Ohio University, not at the number one party school in the USA in 1968 and 69.
And that continues on every so often. They hit number one again.
Oh, anyway, okay. So Peter Peter Gunn was who did we say that was?
I forgot. Craig Stevens.
Craig Stevens, yeah. And Raymond Burr portrayed Perry Mason, which is still on every night.
Lola Albright was his secretary.
Yes.
Edie Hart.
Edie Hart, yep, absolutely. Stalag 13?
I remember the name. I don't think I ever watched
it. Yeah,
that
though. Was a little later on. That came in the 60s, but that one is still on in reruns. And I couldn't remember the guy's name that played... The captain, I think it was captain or colonel. I can't remember what was now. My memory's I'm losing it. But he ended up being killed in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I don't remember his name. So yeah. That, believe it or not, was all the TV shows that I wrote down. I'm sure there are tons and tons more.
Well, I'm trying to think if there were any TV shows that I watched out of Chicago.
More local stuff. Yeah.
Now, later in life, I actually took one of my basketball players, and we did the Oprah Winfrey Show, which started
in Chicago, right?
And Terry Cummings, she did a show about the short and the tall of us, and so I brought Terry to the show. He was 6'10" or 6'8". Somewhere in that range. And she had Jimmy Hurdy's, which was the very first million-dollar jockey.
Oh, okay.
And he was tiny. And so she interviewed both of those. Nobody knew who Oprah was when we were on her show. And that was the very beginning of
just
her
getting
show.
Her start.
Yeah,
just
back
getting
in
her
probably...
start.
Probably 79.
Yeah, so that would have been very early.
It was very early.
I forgot one that I just happened to look back and see.
We got 6 minutes. So
Sherry Lewis.
Sherry Lewis.
You remember Sherry Lewis?
And I just bought one for my little puppy dog. What's the little Lamb Chop?
Lamb Chop. I was going to wait because I knew you were going to pull it out of thin air. Yeah.
Yeah.
She had other puppets, but Lamb Chop was the one that most everybody remembers.
My dog is afraid of Lamb Chop.
Oh, really?
It makes a squeaky noise.
The squeak. Yeah.
Him.
Yeah. That was a great kid's show too. And
of course,
of course, we started to talk about Mr. Rogers at the first thing we started in this morning, and Mr. McFeely. Whose real name, again, is Bob something.
We have it on the wall here somewhere.
But he has been a great supporter of this show and has been to... Oh, you've got a picture of Flippo the Clown over there. I just now saw it. Yeah, there's Flippo the Clown.
And you mentioned
WBNS-TV, weekdays at 4 o'clock. I'll be darned. I just now saw that on the wall.
Bringing back all sorts of
memories. Yeah, yeah. Well, there again, for us folks that either grew up in Central Ohio or Southern Ohio, Flippo the Clown was a staple. Every day after school, you'd run home so you could turn on Flippo. Yeah, but... Yeah, Mr. McFeely, the guy that portrayed Mr. McFeely, has been here probably 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I know he was in the popcorn parade a couple of times.
Yeah. He was
Charlie interviewed him several times over the years.
Sure and, so is Scott. Yeah.
Did I just see recently where Mr. Rogers' wife had passed away?
I think I saw that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, just within the last maybe 6 months, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope it wasn't COVID.
And he does have a son. I think there is a son.
Is there?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I liked his show. My kids grew up with Mr. Rogers.
Yep.
And my young kid did. My elder kid probably was just after him. But they loved the show, and I would watch it, and I'd first sit down and go, oh, this is really juvenile.
But
it was, and that's what it was for.
It was. But it was also educational in
a way.
Because it taught how people should treat other people.
Right.
Which is really the good point of the whole show.
And it was sincere.
It was sincere. How much time do we have?
Oh, we have about 3.5 minutes.
Okay, good. I was just thinking of a show that was a local show that came on, I think, either Channel 11 or Channel 13 out of Toledo that was called Patches and Pockets. Does anybody out there remember Patches and Pockets? They kind of looked like those Raggedy Ann and Andy dolls.
Yeah, sure.
They were two girls that actually portrayed Patches and Pockets.
I recognize.
But they were
the name.
One was supposed to be a man, a boy, and one was supposed to be a girl.
Uh-huh.
But they had a morning show that came on like preschool before kids would go off to school, so the kids could watch it when they're eating their breakfast. And I remember my son. At that time, we were living in Sycamore, so this would have been about 19. Oh, let's see, moved up there in 78, so this would have probably been 78, 70, well, probably a little bit later than that. He started to school in 81 or 82. So when he started kindergarten, he would get up in the morning, and he always had to have those toaster waffles for breakfast that you'd put in the toaster and pop up, put some syrup on them. And he would sit with a TV tray eating his breakfast watching Patches and Pockets. So anybody else out there remember Patches and Pockets?
I do not remember those. I do remember all sorts of kids shows.
Oh, there were a lot of kids shows in the morning.
Out of Chicago.
Out of Chicago and New
Saturday
York.
Saturday morning.
Yep, in New York.
At that time,
we weren't getting many shows from the West Coast. They were all coming from either the Midwest or the East Coast.
True. Yeah. That's true.
So,
next month,
we're going to talk about...
Okay.
Old movies. I want to try to keep it to, nothing later than maybe mid-60s. So go back and get your brain working for 30s, 40s, 50s, and early 60s.
Ralph, you're going to have to come back.
Yep, Ralph will be here, I'm sure. He's probably a Turner movie classic guy like me. I'll just mention my favorite of all times. Just as kind of a teaser, then we'll kind of lead into some of the others. My favorite movie of all time, Yankee Doodle.
Oh, really?
Which usually plays every year on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Starred James Cagney. And it was, of course, the life story of George M. Cohan and the Cohan family. Connection with Jimmy Cagney and Malabar Farm and Louis Brumfield.
Tell us. Or do you have time? You only got a minute.
I can do it. It'll be a brief. Jimmy Cagney and Louis Brumfield became friends when Louis was in Hollywood doing screenplay writing for some of his books that were turned into movies. Jimmy Cagney bought a farm in upstate New York because of Louis Brumfield, and he was a very frequent visitor to the Malabar Farm.
Oh, really?
And used to work the vegetable stand selling vegetables to people. And a couple of interesting stories about that we'll talk about next month.
Okay.
My favorite movie, Yankee Doodle.
All right. I can't give you a favorite movie. I really can't. Probably Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. Okay, well,
all right.
Think about it.
Yeah, we're down to our last 15 seconds. I want to thank Fred Malone. We had a great two hours.
Thank you for everybody that called in. And if you didn't call in next month when we do movies.
We'll do it in a month from now. Yep. Everybody have a great day. Come on back for a Swap Shop.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place.